بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. Concerning the beliefs regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yesterday we read the first belief and a few logical examples to illustrate and to prove this belief was mentioned, and that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was always in existence and will always remain in existence. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is ever living and who has created the world, and then it came into existence. A few incidents concerning this is mentioned here. Once a group of atheists came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh with the intention of killing him. The Imam asked them that what they would say about a person who claims that he sees a ship laden with goods sailing on the sea, and it takes goods from one end to the other. The ship navigates the waves perfectly, and there is no sailor to steer the ship. The goods get loaded on and off the ship by itself. They replied that it is such a nonsensical contention that no sane human would accept it. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh then told them that pity on your intelligence. If a ship cannot sail and operate without a sailor, how can this entire universe operate without an operator? Upon hearing this, all of them became embarrassed and they repented and accepted Islam at the Imam's hands. The second incident, someone asked Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh for the proof of a creator. He replied by indicating towards the face and said that the face of a man is small and yet it consists of eyes, nose, tongue, cheeks, lips, etc. Notwithstanding this, no two persons' faces are the same. The voice, mannerisms, and habits of each person is unique. In short, the fact that every person's features and profiles are not alike, nor are their voices, tones, habits, and characters alike, prove that this is definitely the work of a supreme creator who had blessed each person with his own uniqueness, which differs from others. This can never be the work of matter or molecules, nor can it be pure coincidence. The third incident, an atheist asked Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayh for the proof of a creator. He replied that one must look at the leaves of the mulberry tree. The taste, the color and smell of all of them are alike. But when a silkworm eats therefrom, silk is produced. When a bee eats therefrom, honey is produced. When a sheep eats therefrom, it ejects it as droppings. And when a deer eats therefrom, musk is produced. All these different things are made from one and the same source. It is obvious that all these different products are the result of an all-knowing, most powerful creator. These are certainly not the result of natural occurrences. If it were, then the result would have all been the same. The second belief, Allah is one. Allah Ta'ala is not in need of anyone. He has not begotten any children, nor was he begotten. There is absolutely no comparison to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is the epitome of all perfect qualities. Whatever comes to our small minds and imaginations, Allah is beyond that and supersedes everything. The third belief, there is nothing similar to Allah Ta'ala and He is completely unique. Allah Ta'ala has no partner. There is none equal to Him in His being, attributes and actions. Only Allah Ta'ala is worthy of worship. To worship anyone else besides Him is severe rebellion, which is referred to as shirk, that is polytheism. Last night in the Taraweeh, Alhamdulillah, the entire Surah Ala Imran was recited, besides the first two rukus which were recited the night before. Surah Ala Imran, the name given to the surah is Ala Imran, the family of Imran. Imran, Hazrat Imran was a very pious person and is the father of Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam, who is also the mother of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Because mention of these, of the incidents of the family of Imran are mentioned in the surah, that's why the surah has been called Surah Ala Imran. This surah was revealed in Madinatul after Hijrah. That is why it is a Madani surah. The circumstances of the revelation of about 80 verses of the surah were when a delegation of the Christians came from the place called Najran, which occurs towards the south of today's Arabia, near Yemen. Anyway, they came to Madinatul Munawwara to meet with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they began debating the issue of Hazrat Isa alaihi salatu wasalam. The Christians believe in the divinity of Isa alaihi salam. They regard him to be, na'udhu billah, the son of Allah Ta'ala, and they were adamant on this point. And to justify and prove their point, they used verses of the Quran and Majid in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Isa alayhi salam as Ruhullah and Kalimatullah, which translate as the spirit of Allah Ta'ala, the soul of Allah Ta'ala, and the word of Allah Ta'ala. So these were types of words they used to justify their claim concerning Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed many verses in which Allah ta'ala refutes their claim that they say that Isa alayhi salam is the son of Allah ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala mentions in the beginning, after declaring the veracity and the truthfulness of the Quran and Majid, Allah ta'ala mentions the verse, وَالَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the verses to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the Quran and Majid. And there are two types of verses Allah ta'ala mentions that we have revealed. The first type is called the muhkamat. The muhkamat, these are those verses of the Quran and Majid, where the meaning of those verses are completely clear and unambiguous, and every person can understand what is the message contained in those verses. Then the second type of verses which have been revealed are called the mutashabihat. Mutashabihat are those verses where the meaning, the exact meaning, is not definite and clear, and it is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the type of verses which are the mutashabihat, which are just a few in the Quran and Majid, whereas the major portion of the Quran and Majid consists of the muhkamat ayat, which the meanings are completely clear. Allah Ta'ala mentions that those people in whose hearts there is crookedness and there is deficiency in their understanding, these are the people who pursue those verses of the Quran and Majid which are the mutashabihat, whose meanings are not clear, and only Allah Ta'ala knows those meanings, and they use those verses and they wrongly interpret those verses to justify and prove their wrong beliefs. Like the Christians, they use the words of Ruhullah and Kalimatullah to justify their claims. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the meaning, exact meaning of those words, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And we should not pursue and try to find out the meaning of those verses. Allah ta'ala mentions even those who have been blessed with firm and sound knowledge, and they are firmly grounded in knowledge. They also say, يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلُّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا, that we believe in those verses, and all of them are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They realize the limitations of the intellectual abilities, and they know that that man is blessed with intelligence, but that also has limits, and beyond that, we cannot understand. They make this dua, and this dua also we should also constantly make. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. That, oh, our Rabb, do not cause our hearts to go astray, do not cause our hearts to waver after you have blessed it with hidayat. And, oh Allah Ta'ala, grant us from your side mercy and rahmat. You are the one who are the great giver. So this is a dua also a person should constantly make, because at any time we don't know what is the condition of our iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must not snatch our iman at any time, particularly at the time of death where we are deprived of this iman. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions very briefly here, but later on in the surah, more details are explained concerning the battles which took place. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions four basic themes, that is Tawheed, Risalat, jihad and also spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So mention concerning the battle of Badr, where despite all odds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his assistance granted the Muslims a very stunning victory over the kuffar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of this, that despite being so few in number, but Allah ta'ala granted them victory, which means that victory in the battlefield is not dependent on numbers or on weaponry, but instead it is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance comes, then the Muslims will be given victory. Further on, Allah ta'ala explains that the things of this dunya, the love for it, that has been, man has been beautified, the love of the desires of this world. So these things definitely a person has that attachment and desire and love for them. But these should not be such where they are made the object of our life. And as explained by Hazrat time and again in yesterday's bayan also, make an intention that what is our object of life, why we have been brought into this world. So anyway, Allah Ta'ala mentions that these things, that the love for them has been put into men, of women, of children, of heaps of gold and silver, and marked horses. In those times, those horses of pedigree nature were very beloved to the people, and livestock and crops. But Allah Ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. These are the commodities of this worldly life. These Allah Ta'ala has created for us to use them, but for the object of acquiring the akhirah. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that those who have been blessed with taqwa, those who are true in their iman, they are such that they have these qualities. They say, Rabbana innana amanna, faghfir lana dhunubana. That, O Allah ta'ala, we have brought iman. So Allah ta'ala, please forgive us for our sins and save us from the punishment of Jahannam. And the qualities are explained here, as-sabirin wa-s-sadiqin wa-l-qanitin wa-l-munfiqin wa-l-mustaghfirin bil-ashar. That they are those who persevere, they exercise patience in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the abstaining from sin, and also at the time of difficulties. Was-sadiqeen, they are truthful in their iman, in their outward and inward are completely in conformity with the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are obedient, they are charitable, they spend in the path of Allah ta'ala, and they also ask for Allah ta'ala's forgiveness in the early hours of the morning. That despite being obedient and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they admit that in reality we cannot fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to ibadat and everything else, and they ask for forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions later, further on, the evils of the Ahl Kitab, that they are those who deny the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they had went to the extent of killing the Anbiya, some Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam also, and those who were the true followers of Haqq, they killed them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. That give them the news of a painful punishment, and these are the ones whose actions have been nullified in the dunya and the akhirah, and for them there will be no helpers in the year after. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of an ayat, Qulillahumma malikal mulk. The circumstances of the revelation of this verse was then when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the glad tidings to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that very shortly, very soon, they will be conquering the mighty superpowers of their time, the Persian and Roman empires. At that time, this was mentioned at the time of the Battle of the Trench, where the Muslims, to protect themselves from the coalition forces of the Kuffar, who were trying to annihilate Islam completely, then they were digging the trench around Medina to protect the people of Medina. And at that time, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the Sahaba radiallahu anhum these glad tidings. The Jews and the hypocrites and those who are the enemies of Islam, they started mocking and jeering at this statement and upon the Muslimin, that what type of glad tidings are they being given when at the moment they are so in such conditions of fear, where they are fearing the attack of the enemy, and they don't have sufficient food and clothing also, and they are dreaming of conquering the superpowers of their time. Allah Ta'ala mentions that, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, make this dua, in which the message is that the granting of power and kingdom and taking away from kingdom is all in the hands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allahumma malik al-mulk, that O Allah Ta'ala, you are the owner of kingdom, and you give kingdom and sovereignty to whomsoever you please, and snatch away kingdom from whomsoever you please, and you give honor and respect to those whom you please, and you humiliate and put into disgrace whom you please. And very shortly, then afterwards, the world came to see that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assistance came, and all these superpowers of that time were conquered by the Muslims. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of a very important verse, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. That tell the people, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you claim to have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow me. Therefore, to have true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is impossible. If only we follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we can acquire the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we will be eligible for. Those who claim to have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not being followed, their claims are just hollow and without any real substance. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions three incidents which are all connected to the naming of the Surah Ali Imran, and in this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demonstrates his miraculous powers and great powers. One is the incident of Maryam alayhi salam herself. Her mother was Hanna and her father was Hazrat Imran. She did not bear children for a long time, and once on seeing a bird feeding her chick, the desire to get children came into her, and she supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she even vowed that if she is blessed with a child, she will dedicate the child for the service of Baytul Maqdis and for the khidmat of Baytul Maqdis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted her Maryam alayhi salam, and on seeing that the child born was a female, and normally for the khidmat of Baytul Maqdis, only males were dedicated and put for the service of Baytul Maqdis. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then consoled her and told her, وَلَيْسَ ذَكَّرُ كَالْأُنْثَى, that many males are not like this female. This female, Hazrat Maryam, will be of a special nature, and according to her vow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that she was then, Maryam was accepted for the khidmat of Baytul Maqdis, but she was just an infant and child at that time, and then she was placed into the custody of Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam, who was the custodian and caretaker of Baytul Maqdis at that time. Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam then nurtured Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam, and then the second incident mentioned is that when she became a bit of age and she was engaged in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam, once entering her chambers, seen that there are fruits, out of season fruits by her. He inquired, O Maryam, where did you get this from? There is not the season for these fruits. She replied, Huwa min indillah. They are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At this point, Zakariya alayhi salam, who was also at advanced age at that time, over 100 years, his wife also was very old and barren. They never had any children. But then the urge now and to make this dua came into him that, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when you can give fruits out of season to Maryam, therefore my season of bearing children is also is actually over. But O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing is beyond your qudrat. Bless me with a child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then blessed Zakariya alayhi salam with Yahya alayhi salam. So this is the second incident mentioned here. And then the third incident is the miraculous birth of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, that without the agency of a father, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Maryam alayhi salam with a child, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Concerning Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, this was what the Christians, they had the wrong belief of, that Isa alayhi salam was the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the nabuwat of Isa alayhi salam and the many miracles which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Isa alayhi salam, which all proved the nabuwat of Isa alayhi salam. But the Jews, they, because of their obstinacy, they refused to accept the nabuwat of Isa alayhi salam, and they even plotted to kill Isa alayhi salam. But all their plotting was to no avail. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهِ. They plotted, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also plotted to save Isa alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners. Allah Ta'ala then makes mention that how Isa alayhi salatu wa salam remained protected despite the Jews wanting to kill him. And Allah Ta'ala lifted Isa alayhi salatu wa salam physically to the heavens, and it is our aqidah that Isa alayhi salam at this present moment is alive in the heavens, when Allah Ta'ala will then send him down near Qiyamah in the time of Imam Mahdi. He will then come down, and so this is our aqidah. We should correct our aqidah in this regard, not like the Christians. They believe that Isa alayhi salam was crucified and killed. Allah Ta'ala elsewhere in the Quran Majid mentions, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ, that they did not kill Isa alayhi salam, nor did they crucify Isa alayhi salam, walakin shubbiha lahum, but they were put into confusion, and the incident will be mentioned later on in the sixth para. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, in this, concerning the same incident, concerning this delegation of Christians from Najran, when they remain, despite all the evidence proving that Isa alayhi salam was Abdullah, not Ibnullah. He was the servant of Allah Ta'ala, he was a Rasul, he is not the son of Allah Ta'ala. But they remain adamant and obstinate on their claims. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to issue them with the challenge of Mubahala. In Mubahala, each of the opposing parties, they invoke the punishment and wrath and curses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to befall that party which is on the batil, which is on the false. This delegation of the Najran, despite them having many of their ulama scholars amongst them, but they refused to accept, they shrank away from this challenge of Mubahala, and eventually they agreed to pay the jizya, that is the Islamic tax imposed on those who don't accept Islam in an Islamic state. And they agreed to that, and that is how the incident then came to an end. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions in a verse the status of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was Sayyidul Anbiya. Allah ta'ala says, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a pledge from all the Anbiya alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam, from the beginning right till the end, that in your time, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the Rasul, referring to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last Nabi, then it is your duty that you bring Iman upon him, that he is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you assist him. From this we can understand that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Sayyidul Anbiya. Then in the next, in the beginning of the fourth para, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the verse that you can never attain true piety unless you spend of that which you love. Till you don't spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of those things which you have love for, till then true piety and virtue cannot be attained. On hearing this verse, there are many incidents of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum who had valuable assets and things which they had love for in the form of orchards, in the form of slaves, and in the form of other things, and they spent it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the verse Inna awwala bayti wudi'a lin-nas, concerning Baytullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention, and this was revealed in the same incident when the changing of the Qibla took place, and the Ahlul Kitab remained obstinate on this point, that what was the need to change the Qibla of the Muslims also to Baytullah, whereas Baytul Maqdis has superiority over Baytullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the special characteristics of Baytullah in these verses, which indicate the superiority of the Baytullah over Baytul Maqdis. That the Baytullah, the Kaabatullah, was the first house designated on the surface of the earth for people to worship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it has been blessed and it has been made a source of hidayat for all the people. Fihi ayatum bayyinatum maqamu Ibrahim. In it there are clear signs And amongst them Allah Ta'ala mentions one, that is the Maqam Ibrahim, that indicate the virtue and excellence of Baytullah. And the third point mentioned here, وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانْ آمِنًا, that person who enters the Baytullah, those who comes into the precincts of the Baytullah, they are in a condition of peace and safety. And this is also the masla, any person who enters the haram, he is in a condition of protection. Further on, the obligation of Hajj also has been mentioned, that those who have the ability to perform the Hajj has been made compulsory upon them. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the verse where the unity and the strength of the Muslims depends on this. And that is, Allah Ta'ala says, one is taqwa and the other one is wa'tasimu bihablillahi jami'a. That stay and hold firmly to the rope of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and don't disunite. Don't fall into different parties, and this will ensure the unity and strength of the ummah. Further on, the great status of this ummah has been mentioned, that kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. Allah Ta'ala says that you are the best of nations. Since we have the best of Nabis amongst us, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then this ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam also is the best of nations. But the conditions and the qualities being mentioned are further mentioned. أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ, who have been taken out for the benefit of mankind. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, that they are enjoined the good and prohibit from the evil and believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is these things which will make this ummah the best of ummah, when these great responsibilities, which are actually the responsibilities of nabuwat, if the people of this ummah do this, of the work of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, and for that they have been labeled the best of ummats. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention that don't ever befriend those people who are the enemies of Islam. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tattakhidhu bitanatan min dunikum. Don't befriend the kuffar, don't make them your bosom friends, because Allah Ta'ala mentions three points here, that these people la ya'lunakum khabala. They will leave no stone unturned to see to your, to harm you. And they love to see you falling into difficulties and calamities. And that what they mention with their mouths, the enmity emanates from their mouths. In other words, their words also indicate how much of enmity they have for you. And that which they conceal in their bosoms concerning the Muslims is even worse, is even greater. In other words, what they conceal in their hearts, the enmity, is much more. So never befriend them. Don't take them as your bosom friends. However, the ulama explained that to display politeness, courteousness, and social etiquettes towards them, especially if the intention is to incline them to the beauty of Islam or to ward off any harm which might be coming from them, then this will be permissible. This will not fall into the within this prohibition that you are making them your bosom friends. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in great detail mentions the incidents of the battle of Badr together with the battle of Uhud. In the battle of Uhud, although the Muslims initially had great success, but because of an error on the part of some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had to suffer a temporary setback and defeat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many verses consoles the Muslims in this regard and mentions that وَلَقَدْ عَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ, Allah ta'ala has also forgiven you for that. But the hikmat and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this regard is mentioned here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to, whatever happens, happens with the wisdom and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the munafiqeen and those who were the enemies of Islam, they took great objections on this, that if these Muslimin were on haq, why did they suffer a temporary defeat and setback? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the answers to all that. And further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards the end of the surah then mentions though the qualities of those who are the actual intelligent people. Inna fi khalq as-samawati wal-ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan-nahari la-ayatin li-ulil albab alladhina yadhkuruna Allaha qiyaman wa qu'udan wa 'ala junubihim. Don't think that the intelligent people are those who you regard to be intelligent, to be now very progressive when it comes to the things of this dunya. No, the intelligent people are those who are constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether standing, sitting, lying down, and they are pondering over the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the skies and the earth, through which they gain the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these people are in reality the intelligent people.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن أبي الدرداء رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أخبركم بخير أعمالكم وأزكاها عند مليككم وأرفعها لدرجاتكم وخير لكم من إعطاء الذهب والورق وخير لكم من أن تلقوا عدوكم فتضربوا رقابهم ويضربوا رقابكم ذكر الله عز وجل. رواه أحمد. حضرت ابو دردا رضی اللہ عنہ سے روایت ہے کہ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کیا میں تمہیں تمہارا وہ عمل نہ بتا دوں جو سب سے بہتر ہے اور تمہارے مالک کی نظر میں سب سے زیادہ پاکیزہ ہے اور تمہارے درجات کو بہت بلند کرنے والا ہے اور سونا چاندی کی صدقہ سے بھی زیادہ بہتر ہے اور اس سے بھی بہتر ہے کہ تم دشمن سے ٹکر لو اور ان کے سر قلم کرو اور وہ تمہاری گردنیں اڑائے. صحابہ کرام رضی اللہ عنہم نے عرض کیا اللہ کے رسول کیوں نہیں ایسا اونچا عمل ضرور ارشاد فرمائیے. آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا وہ اللہ کا ذکر ہے. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu reports that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, shall I not inform you of an action which is the best of all deeds, constitutes the best act of piety in the eyes of your Lord, will elevate your status in the hereafter, and carries more virtue than the spending of gold and silver for the pleasure of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, or taking part in jihad and slain or being slain in the path of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum begged to be informed of such an act. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, it is the dhikr of Almighty Allah. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu reports that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, shall I not inform you of an action which is the best of all deeds, constitutes the best act of piety in the eyes of your Lord, will elevate your status in the hereafter, and carries more virtue than the spending of gold and silver for the pleasure of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, or taking part in jihad and slain or being slain in the path of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum begged to be informed of such an act. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, it is the dhikr of Almighty Allah.